Lord, you're calling your children. You're calling them back. The prodigals, the lost. Those who don't even know they lost. You're calling them into relationship with you. You're calling them to step inside the boat. To come into your presence through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. If you feel you have a word or a picture that you want to share this morning, please come forward.
Driving his bucky around all over, and the lawyer said to me that they might take the bucky away to pay debt on his side, because the bucky was in his name. I'm not saying I've never had debt, I'm not judging anybody. I cried. I went out of the lawyer's office. I was with David. I started crying. I said to David, what am I going to do, because I have to have a car and I don't have money for a car. Anyway, over the couple of years that the lawyer wound up the state, he said to me, you must take the bucky and put it in your name. And I was so excited, because I decided, okay, well, here's my chance. I'm going to take the bucky, put it in my name and sell it. So I put it in my name. I sold it a week later. Well, yeah, a week later. And then I said to the Lord, I'm trusting you for a car. But before that, I'd been praying for a car for me, one that's light on petrol, something that suits me, something that would at last be in my name. And I trusted the Lord in this. So on Monday we went to look for Tazers, and I thought, okay, a Taz is for me. But I wasn't 100% sure whether that's what the Lord wanted for me. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the Taz. And we were looking and looking on Monday, and the Tazers were too high a mileage for my price. And you know, me being a widow, it's better not to pay anything off. So I had a substantial amount. I got shares from my husband's estate, and then I had money from the bucky. So I thought, I said to the Lord, I know it's impossible, but nothing's impossible for you. And this little bit of money I have, I'm trusting you that I can pay for a car cash. And but before we went looking for a car, Johan from Goodingsgrove said to us, to Jessica and I, came up to us, he said, have you got a car yet? I said, no, I'm looking for a car. He said, you know what, your car will come to you. The Lord will send it to you. So now, Monday night, David phoned a friend of his, or his friend phoned him, I'm not sure. And they were talking, and he said to David, what did you do today? Now, we're looking for a car for my mom. And he said, well, we're selling my wife's car. Wow, what a beautiful car. And so we bought Jenny Lynn's car, Hein and Jenny Lynn. It's an Opel Corsa 1.4 litre. I've never been so happy in my life, because God's goodness is amazing, because it was the right price, everything. Well, he dropped the price a little bit, but praise the Lord for his goodness. And you know what was amazing is, David said to me, you're only getting your car on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, and then they kept it a secret because they found out I'm getting it on Friday. So I got it on Friday, and it's paid cash for. I don't owe anything on it. White. And I asked the Lord for a white car. So I wanted a white car, and I wanted the shape of the car that I've got, and that's exactly what I have. And the car has everything. CD player, radio, airbags, air conditioner, the whole toot. And praise the Lord. And then let me just tell you this. This is amazing. We went to the mall, Jessica and I, and we said, okay, we're taking the car for a run, and we're going to go to Paul Mall. And I said to her, okay, before we go back, I must just go to the toilet. You will not believe what was written on the window in the toilet. yeah, bring me my phone. Sorry. This, but I'm blown away by the Lord. I'm so blown away. It says here, imagine if the right car came looking for my mom. And I'm like, what? Jessica took photos of it. So, you know, God is amazing. And I drive this car and it's all glory to God. And, you know, nothing's impossible. Nothing.
Good morning, everyone. I just want to share something that happened to us a while ago. It's just like a little story, but you'll catch on to it. Our oldest son wanted to treat Uncle Johnny and me and someone else, his mother-in-law, so he took us on a road trip. And he didn't want to tell us where we are going to. And so we drove to Oudtshoorn, and then we got into the combi jam-packed, and we traveled and traveled. And then it was Prince Albert, and then it was Graaf Reinet, and Johnny said to my son, are we going to go to Noupoort on an outreach, because we were like going 6-7 hours. And he didn't want to say to us where he was taking us. Not the children, they were nagging, and eventually we made peace. And we trusted his judgment, where he's going to take us. So we arrived in the most awesome place, which is called Kraddock. And he said, this is where we're going to. This is our destiny. We said, Kraddock, you know? And we were shocked. And then he drove us into this little lane, and there were these little old-fashioned houses, each side of the road perfectly what are the Russian word I want to use? Remont is to restore, yes. And it was beautiful. It was like a picture. And as he walked into our cottage, he turned around before we went in and he said, I've been here before and I knew you would love it. And at that moment, the Lord showed me, we are all on a journey. And where God is taking us, he has been there before. And he knows what will be wonderful for each one of us. We've got 6 children. If we think of each one, we know if we had lots of money, we'll give them this, take them there. We know their personalities. So it was such a blessing to know, and I want to encourage you. Get into the combi or into the Lord in his vehicle and just rest in him. And where he's taking you, he's been before. And what your eyes will not have seen and your mind not thought that he's got for us. All right, just an encouragement.
Joanne, are you here? No.
Danny Betty. Sorry. Is Joanne's in die Afrikaanse diens? Ja. Wil Danny Betty voorin te kom en net 'n bietjie deel oor die gebedsweek?
Yeah, I just want to hook on what the Leslie says. Where am I? Can you hear? A pastor says the other day, we find it hard to trust God here on earth. But we go to heaven without anything, no clothes, nothing. And we trust that the Lord will provide for us there. So the Lord is faithful here and in heaven, I'm sure. About the week of prayer, we had a 24/7 with Paul and Wellington from Chuck Valley to pray for the valley as a whole. We prayed about I'm like Joanne now, spiritual awakening, yeah? And spiritual awakening must start in our hearts, in the house of the Lord. And we can't get away from the verse that says, it my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. And we know we are in desperate need of healing in our land. So it's the body of Christ that will have to rise up, take our place, so that we can have an impact on the world around us. We also prayed for salvation for the lost, and the Lord just showed his heart, how he feels about the lost, and that we will have the heart of Christ for the lost and the hurt in our country, in our valley, people around us. We also prayed for civil justice. We covered different things, but what really stand out was to pray for the abused women and children. There are so many of them in our valley. And that we will just have a heart for them, and that we also prayed that the Lord will raise up the men, that they will take their responsibility. What I was wondering this week, as many times before, why is it so hard to get the body of Christ together for corporate prayer? When we invite people to prayer meetings, it's only a few that pitch. And we know if we read in Acts, the believers were in one accord, praying together. And the Lord filled them, and they go out and change the world. I don't know, maybe it's sometimes the terminology that we use. Some time ago, Wendy Rupert, I was invited by her to a Saturday morning thing that she had at La Motte, the new venue that she has for Christians to get together. And 2 days before that, I received a letter from the chap who was organizing it. He had to remind us about something. And he started his email, "Geachte Gebedstrijder, dear prayer warrior." And immediately I think, I don't want to go, it's not for me, I'm not a prayer warrior. And I nearly missed out on a wonderful morning because of the terminology that he used. When we get together, we just wait on the Holy Spirit and talk to the Lord. It's as easy as that. We all pray in our house, in our homes, in our families, in our prayer groups. But it's hard to get the body together for corporate prayer. When my grandchildren were that small, my daughter came with her three children, and my other granddaughter, Abigail, was also there for the weekend. And she said to me, "Mama, I'll take the two boys to their room. Would you like to take the girls?" So we had our quiet time, me and the girls, and we were just about to pray when little Abigail announced, "We are going to pray in a circle. If you have nothing to say, you just say pass." So I just want to tell you, we don't pray in a circle when we get together. If you want to pray 10 times, you're welcome. If you don't want to pray at all, you're also welcome, just to sit in the presence of the Lord and soak in the presence of the Lord and agree with the other's prayers. Because the Lord says, "Where two or three agree on earth, I will hear them." So I really want to invite the body of Christ. Tiens had to tell me the other day, "I fly solo," because he came to the prayer meeting and he was the only one. So let's support our pastor and his wife, who are so faithful, always at the prayer meetings. Thank you.
Thank you, Tani Betsy. So it's 24/7, the week of prayer is ending tonight at midnight, so there's still some time slots if you'd like to participate in that prayer chain. Otherwise, thank you for all those that have prayed in the week, and you've prayed at home. as part of the prayer chain, God has really come through and answered some very specific prayers. More of that a bit later. But we have weekly prayer time slots, Monday morning, 6 till 7, and then Thursday evening, 7 till 8. Everyone's welcome. And then we'll soon be putting a lot more emphasis on the prayer before the church services as well. So you're very welcome to come early and join in the mother's room for some prayer. Prayer is powerful. And I think that's something that we often forget. If we realize the power in prayer, power to change lives, we'd certainly all of us, would spend more time in prayer. So accept that encouragement from Tani Betsy, someone who's older and wiser than most of us. And the word says we must heed those words. Okay, so be encouraged. I'd like to show us a video clip as we start. Forgive me if you've seen it before. I believe there will be quite a few here that have not seen it before. If you have seen it, pay closer attention, and I trust you'll also get a message, and I'll just share afterwards as well and pick up where it leaves off. So thanks for that. Thank you, Sonette.
So in my head, I was like, okay, I'm going to accept Christ in front of everybody right now. Then I'm going to go home and snort drugs until I don't want to do them anymore. And that was my way of thinking. So I received Christ at the church. I went home, neglected my daughter, and put her in front of the TV. I remember I grabbed a $100 bill. I always used a $100 bill for some reason, pride or something. I chopped up my crystal meth, got it all smooth and powdery, and I snorted a big old line. And I held the bill, and I looked up, and I said, Jesus, if you're real like that pastor said, then you got to take these drugs from me. Come into my life. Come into my heart. And I just got quiet. I said, search me right now. Search my heart. And I stayed silent. And I said, you know I want to quit. You know I want to be a good dad for this kid. She lost her mother to drugs. And she's going to lose me if I don't quit. Amen. There's a high when you go on stage and you see all these people like just loving your music and loving you and stuff, and there's these girls and all these people going worshiping me. When you see all those people just going nuts for you, it's like, you know, it puffs you up inside. You're like, you know, I'm important. That's where drugs can creep in, and, you know, cocaine or whatever, methamphetamines crept in, and it all came from after drinking for me and my friends. And it seems like fun in the beginning. It's a lie because it turns around on you. It starts to wear on your personality. It starts to wear on your relationships. And everything is affected by it negatively. Everything. There was a few times where life seemed good. My daughter Janaea, she came into the world, and I was like, it was just such a euphoric feeling. I thought my life could just feel like that forever, you know. It was spiritual. Just, I didn't know what was happening. I just felt so much love just fill my emotions, and I thought I was gonna be happy, but I just couldn't. I couldn't stay sober. I didn't know how. I hit rock bottom. I had swore that I would never do methamphetamines again because I saw what it did to my child's mother. It just took her feelings away and made her leave her kid. I just wanted her dead. I wanted to kill her. I thought she was a scum of the earth, and you know, how could she do drugs like that and let the drugs win her like that? So I never was going to do meth again. I ended up with a everyday crippling addiction to methamphetamine, and everything that I said about my ex-wife came true for me. I sunk to the lowest gutter I could ever think of. I would spend time with my kid, and I would still be on it because I needed it to function. I'd get up in the morning, have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and snort meth, and then take her to school or whatever. It was just, I was a junkie.
I started losing my mind.
This guy would show up at my house with like a gun and stuff. And then I ran out in Europe, had my drug dealer send me drugs through the mail.
I'd be tweaked out in my hotel room watching this package come from the U.S. It's just nuts. My life just was like spinning out of control.
And Janae had come out on one of the tours in the U.S.
I just remember her skipping around the house
singing one of our corn songs called Adidas.
All day I dream about sex.
And I'm like going, what am I doing? I'm a junkie. My daughter's singing All Day I Dream About Sex. And I'm going to die. Father, my real estate broker Eric, he said, Brian, I don't mean to be weird with you. I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but I felt the scripture like jump out at me. I've never done this before, you know, so I don't really know how to do this, but I felt like this would mean something to you. It's Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I remember all tweaked out. I looked up in the dictionary, weary. I looked up burdened, and I pulled the scripture apart, and I was like, well, I'm weary and burdened, and I need rest for my soul. And I didn't know if it was real, but you know, they invited me to church a couple weeks later, and I received Christ at the church. I went home, neglected my daughter, got it all smooth and powdery.
Jesus, you got to take these drugs from me. Search me right now. Search my heart.
Father, I felt so much fatherly love from heaven, and it was like, I don't condemn you. I love you. I love you. It was just love, love. And instantly that love from God came into me. It was so powerful that the next day I threw away all my drugs, and I quit corn. I was like, I'm quitting corn, and I'm going to raise my kid, because my kid, like, I got the love from God coming to me, and then it came out of me to my kid. It changed me. My heart was changed like that, and I was like, Janae, Daddy's going to be home with you all the time. I'm quitting my career. And her face lit up, and she's like, for me? You know, she felt so special, and God used her to save me, to save her life later on. My dream came true way more than I dreamt about. I made more money. I played bigger shows. I mean, houses, cars. I tried drugs. I tried sex. I tried everything to try to get pleasure out of this life. And I thought that I could fulfill my life with all this stuff by having my dream come true. And it came true, but it didn't fulfill it. When Christ came in, that feeling, he gives you the gift of understanding life, which is everything was created for Christ and by him. And we were created to be with him. And it's the most incredible feeling, because you're where you belong. And contentment is given to you in life because you don't have to look anywhere else. And you're exactly where you need to be. And the question about life is answered. I am Brian Head Welch, and I am second.
Powerful testimony. So, you know, we've got a drug group going, and he's not one of the drug group members, but they, you know, some of them are struggling with the same drugs there. And, you know, one can see when you come into contact, maybe as a long-time Christian, you come into contact with people in you know, kind of in that situation and so on. When often you get that realization that you're coming into contact with a different kingdom here. There's different power at work here, and there, you realize that there's no quick fix here. There's nothing you can say that's going to change this person's life. You need to rely on God to do a work. We pray in the Our Father, we say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Now, when one kingdom comes, another kingdom has to give way. So there's tension, there is a battle waging at that forefront, at that frontier, where the two kingdoms are at war. And, you know, sometimes we can forget that as children of the Lord, maybe we've been with him for a long time, and we can easily get into that comfortable place, kind of, you know, in the ark. But even as I prayed this morning, I'm having a picture of the ark, but it's different from what it was in Noah's day. Jesus is the ark, and the door's wide open, and he's sending us out. He said, go and make disciples. Bring them back. Okay, so it's in and out the ark, but sometimes we get very comfortable in the ark because it's a comfortable place to be. You experience the love of God, you experience God's blessing and so on your life, you know, and it's very easy to forget about others that are not experiencing that, others that are still outside of relationship with God, that are suffering. They don't have hope. Outside of Christ, there's no true hope. There's no true life. And we need to constantly remind us of that. That's why outreach, witnessing, and the precursor to all of that is prayer. That's why it's so essential for our growth as Christians and for us to continue to live in a place of gratitude towards God, because we are reminded then what it was like without Christ. Then our heart starts to burn for those that do not have him. And so this morning, the title of the message is Call to Arms. And what I want to impress on us this morning is that there are two kingdoms. We find ourselves in God's kingdom. That is the place where God rules and reigns. He reigns in our life. If we allow him to, we ask him to give us direction, to lead us. Where God rules, where God reigns, that is God's kingdom. Sometimes the kingdom of God, you know, or one could probably say that for all of us, the kingdom of God in the Christian's life is coming more and more each day as we journey with him, where we surrender more and more to him, where we allow him to take charge of more and more aspects of our being and our life and our existence. So more and more, Lord, let your kingdom come in my life. Let your kingdom come through my life. And it works the same in us as individuals as it does for society at large. When the kingdom comes, another kingdom has to give way. There are only two kingdoms. And the other kingdom, that's the kingdom under the rule of the devil. There's unfortunately, and it's one of the oldest lies, and it has permeated the church, and there's many Christians that are being taught that the devil doesn't exist. And that there is no hell. Now, I don't know what Bible they are reading, because it's all over there. You know, that's, then they must maybe call it some other name, but that's not Christianity in my book. And, you know, what it does is it breeds a complacency, even a naivety, and a place where we start calling evil good, where sin, there's no such thing as sin or anything like that. And, well, that's a reality. And all sin leads to death ultimately. So you just open the door wide open for destruction. So that's the biggest lie or deception that the devil can bring is to say he doesn't exist. Now everything's permissible. Now there's no consequences to our behavior or action. But the fact of the matter is we have an enemy. And he is out to destroy us. When he was in heaven, his name was Lucifer. And because of the pride in his heart and he wanted to become God, and he was cast out, along with a third of the angels that sided with him. And where is he now? He's now on earth. He's roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. Who will buy into his lies and deception? He's the deceiver, the accuser of the brethren. He's the father of lies. If we walk in obedience to God, then he cannot hurt us. But the Lord says, even for his disciples, those that follow him wholeheartedly, there will be suffering. Even as our Lord suffered, we will suffer. There's such a thing as righteous suffering. Now, I'm not talking about that. But there's a place where we open up a door for the enemy to come in. In Ephesians 4, Paul says, do not give place to the devil. Do not open that door, even slightly. Because he's always looking. He's prowling around. He's waiting to get a foot in the door, and he'll come in and he'll wreak havoc. We need to keep a tight ship. Keep those doors firmly shut to the enemy. Make sure we allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts on a regular basis. Make sure our hearts are clean. That we confess when there's something that's amiss. That we make sure we're in right standing. So he wants to take us out. Sometimes the suffering that we endure or the tough times are as a result of our own poor choices. And sometimes it's the enemy that's just, we've opened a door and he's wreaking havoc. Other times it's because we actually moved in obedience to God and we're coming against the enemy. We're at that frontier where we're trying to, I mean, when God asks us to do something, it's for a reason. It's not for our own benefit or gain, but he blesses us to be a blessing. He asks us to do something in order to extend his kingdom. And so then we're at the forefront, and you're going to experience resistance. James 4, verse 7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When you're submitting to God, the devil is going to come against you. He's not that, he doesn't care that much about what you're doing or whatever if you're not submitted to God. Then you're not a problem for him. But you become a problem for him if you start taking his territory. If you start winning souls for Jesus, just going in obedience, the Lord is, he's saving people, but he's using you as a vessel. When you start doing that, when you're submitting to God, the devil will come against you. You're going to have to resist. There's a force coming against you. And I experienced that in a real way on Thursday morning. The last 2 weeks has been quite challenging for me after I sustained my shoulder injury, torn ligaments and whatever. Unfortunately, I had to go and see 3 specialists. The first one, when I made my payment to him, my reference was Dr. Google, because just on my bank statement, just for fun, because you could see he wasn't sure, and he's a specialist, but he wasn't sure. I won't name him and shame him, but he wasn't quite the expert on shoulders, I would say, because he had this big TV screen up, and he had to actually Google, but he couldn't even get onto Google. I had to help him onto Google, and then he wasn't sure like where to go in, where to click or whatever, and it ended up on some Indian website, and then he's like, okay, wear a sling, 4 months, what. So I'm like, okay, thanks. And then like, really, 550 Rand for this advice? You know, actually, before I went to him, I had more information already because I'd done the obvious thing and Googled it myself. So, and then I had to help him. But I didn't want to now, you know, make him feel bad and take him to the much more informative website that I was on, you know. But anyway, so I didn't feel comfortable with his diagnosis or that I had more information about what the injury entailed or the treatment thereof after seeing him, you know. And I want to, I'm one of these people on the DISC test, I'm quite high in the C category, which means I'm like a detailed person. I want to know what's happening. I want all the information. Okay, then at least I know what to pray for. So, you know, I had an idea it was ligaments, but the GP thought, no, it was broken collarbone. Anyway, I went to the specialist. He said, yeah, no, ligaments, but Dr. Google. So then I made an appointment with the shoulder guru, you know, in the country. He does all the professional rugby players and whatever. And so he said, yeah, no, grade 3 tears. Yes, we can operate, and then, you know, the recovery time will be much shorter and whatever, or you can leave it. It might or might not heal, but you can always operate later. So he kind of convinced me, yes, let's operate. You know, that's kind of the impression I got from him. And I was happy with that. He's the expert, you know, everyone raves about him, whatever. So I'm like, yes, I'm so glad. And this proves that Dr. Google was now on a tangent, because, yeah, he didn't go beyond what that website said. So, you know, this guy, anyway, this expert, he had a sonar in his room and all of that. So he did the checks beyond the x-rays and so on. And I was happy with that, but then discovered that my medical aid won't pay for him or his hospital and whatever. So now I'm like, okay, so now I need an operation. You know, I've made peace with that and whatever, but now I need to find someone who can do it that my medical aid will pay for. Because believe it or not, an operation that seems, you know, not that complicated. Actually, they insert an artificial ligament. 130,000 Rand. So, you know, that's a price of a house. And so anyway, I found a doctor that my medical aid will cover. And he's also, you know, comes very, you know, with a good reputation and so on. And I went, and then he gave me a third diagnosis, basically. He said, yes, all of that's right. Yes, you can operate. But then he explained, he at least took time and explained everything. And, you know, the risks involved and the timelines. And if you want to do contact sport, you know, all of that with the artificial stuff. And so, anyway, based on his advice, he convinced me to wait a bit longer, and one can always operate later if needed, but just to see how the shoulder responds to physio and that kind of thing. And it's 6 months before it's fully recovered. So it's a long time, and, you know, I was first was 4 months, then it was 2 months, now it's 6 months, and that was Wednesday. And then, you know, I was a little bit negative, I must confess. And self-pity is never, it's not something that I like to participate in. It's not something that the Lord enjoys very much in us either. We've got so much to be grateful for. But I must say, at this point, 6 months felt like a long time for me. And it's a frustration. Let me put it that way. Try putting on socks with one hand. When you go home, try and do that. Okay, you need to train your toes. Your toes have to like grip the sock, and it's tricky. All right, because you can't stretch your other arm down to, I'm not as supple as I used to be. I can't pick my leg all the way up. I can't stretch my arm all the way down. Now it becomes a problem. But you're independent and you want to do things yourself. Showering, all of these things. Eating, you've got to train your left hand out to stir the porridge, because you're kind of, your left hand's stupid. It's not used to doing that. You do everything with your right hand, you know, if you're right-handed like me. And so It's been a process and a bit frustrating. But Thursday morning, we come and pray here, and Joanne, she felt, no, today the Lord wants to save someone radically. Someone that's way off track, you know, the Lord is going to do something today. And we're excited. And we're praying, and also prayed for the prison ministry here in the valley and so on. And then Joanne kind of, it was like the piece of the puzzle started coming together for her. And she felt, no, maybe it's someone at prison. And anyway, we went off to prison on Thursday morning. We go every Thursday. Liesl, Teresa, Rob, myself, and yeah, there's often some others that join us. But we went off on Thursday morning, and it was a big group on Thursday. There was over 50 guys there. We're in this hall, and so everyone's like in the circle. We start worshiping, and we worship for a long time. Now, my arm was still in a sling. The last doctor said, no, he wants to try and wean me off the sling, because it's like your muscles have to help to get your arm back into place, because your shoulder's hanging because the ligaments are torn. Anyway, so I'm in the sling, and the day just felt different from other times that we were there. And the wardens were coming in every now and then and looking for prisoners or something. And there was a lot of distraction, guys going across the room with letters and stuff. And there's quite a few new faces. Anyway, just tried to press in and focus on the Lord as we were worshiping. And then this pain in my shoulder, because now my arm's like in a fixed position with a sling. And it's like the pain kept on intensifying. And I'm just like, well, you know, I've got to do something, because it's getting hard to focus on the worship now. And then it went into like a burning sensation, this sort of deep burning inside my shoulder, and became rather unbearable. I felt I was breaking out in a bit of a sweat. It was like hard for me to see straight. I started feeling dizzy, and this pain just kept on intensifying. I started looking around me, where am I going to fall? Or maybe I should sit. Yes, maybe I should sit, because then I can rest my arm on my leg or something and might alleviate some of the pain. And then I became aware, it's like the Lord just started talking to me and saying, but, you know, this is not just physical. There's a spiritual attack on you right now. And, you know, and then I thought, okay. And then the Lord said, don't sit down, because it became very tempting. It's like, I need to break this pain now. It's because I'm going to pass out. I was really worried that I was going to faint. It was a pain that I've broken lots of bones in my body and stuff, but I've never felt a pain like this. And it was now almost 2 weeks since the accident, and it had never felt as bad as it did that morning, just there while we were in the prison during the worship, just intensifying. And I'm like, but I've got to bring the message when we finished worshiping. How am I going to do that? You know, it's getting worse and worse. And the Lord just said, stay standing. Stay standing. And then I thought, well, or I felt maybe some of the new guys there, but, you know, some guys are trying to, you know, they're coming against me in the spirit or whatever, trying to curse my shoulder or something. They can see it's in a sling. And that's a big thing in prison. You're not allowed to show weakness there, because then it's like the end for you. And so, you know, maybe they were targeting me in a sense. And the Lord, obviously, he thought it good to let me experience that and feel that. Anyway, I stayed standing, and by the end of the worship, you know, it was been such a struggle to just focus on the Lord. I was actually quite grateful that I could now just start moving around, and maybe there'd be some relief for my shoulder, but I can start ministering. And the Lord really came through for me with a grace. As I started ministering, I was able to completely focus on the Word, and I was able to just put behind me just that pain and whatever, just completely block it out. And it was, yeah, the words were coming with some fire, you know, and some passion from my side. I really felt just such a conviction, and that the Lord blessed me with the boldness just to share with the guys. The message was on spiritual warfare. So that was for me like quite a real example of what I've just been going through, of the fact that we are in a battle. You know, the Lord had me experience some pain of being in a spiritual battle right there. And it's something that we sometimes forget, because most of the time as believers, we're in quite a comfortable place, very aware of the Lord's protection and provision and his blessing. And we don't always experience that kind, you know, pain in some way or another. We don't experience that we're afflicted in any way. And we forget that we are in a battle. Okay. But there's a battle raging. And so by the end of the message, I made an invitation as well, and there was seven new guys that were there for the first time. And I was hoping and trusting, and because of the prayer of the morning here with Joanne and Tani Betsy, feeling that at least one of them is going to stand up, you know, someone is going to commit their lives to the Lord. And we had agreed for that as well in prayer before we went into the prison that morning. And I waited, and no one responded. They were all sitting down. No one responded. I waited a little longer. And then a guy from behind me, because I'm not facing the majority of the guys, but there were some guys behind me in the circle. But I could see all seven of them were in my scope, but none of them had gotten up. You know, and then I thought, sure, okay, that's a huge pity. That's very sad. Really expecting someone's going to respond. And then someone from behind me came and stood in front of me. It must have taken that guy a lot of boldness to stand up in front of all these guys when no one stood up. He could easily have stayed sitting down. And he knew there's new guys there, and most likely from the spiritual onslaught that I experienced, not all of those guys were very friendly or there were the right motives, you know, and they checking out who are these new disciples, and they make life difficult for them in the dormitories there. The gangs make life difficult for the Christians. It's different challenges that they face on the inside, but very real challenges. And so this guy got up. His name's Joseph, and he came and stood in front of me, and he received Jesus Christ. And yeah, I know that there was this contention in the spirit. There was a battle. Satan was battling to keep this guy in his clutches. But praise the Lord that Jesus delivered him and set him free and saved him. So I was very, very excited, you know, about that answered prayer. You know, that's pretty good turnaround time from praying in the morning, you know, where the Lord gave Joanne a specific word. And then later that morning, that guy that we had prayed for coming to salvation on the middle of the battlefield. So we're in a battle. There's a call to arms. And the scripture I just want to share with us and remind us of this morning is Ephesians chapter 6. And you know it. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. And this is the scripture that I read, that I started also the message with on Thursday. And then it came as a confirmation to me as well, when the Lord was telling me, when I was sweating it, and he was telling me, just stay standing, you know, during the worship there. And then just reading the scripture again and just dropping in my heart, you know, we're in a battle here. That was, the enemy was really, you know, on our case there. And we need to stay standing. I don't know what challenge you find yourself in or what might lie ahead, but there will be challenges. You know, and Thursday night, the Lord just, I turned a corner just in my mindset and my attitude towards, you know, just the injury and everything, where up to that point I saw it as this inconvenient setback that's going to take time, it's a frustration. Thursday night, along with all the encouragement of what happened during the day, I turned the corner and now I see it as a challenge. I'm excited about it because a challenge is an opportunity to grow. And I know the Lord is teaching me and will still teach me a lot of things through this time. But I want to encourage you as well. Whatever you are facing, difficulty and so on, you know, the Lord can help you to make that transition where you can view it as a challenge and an opportunity. You are a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit, and the three overlap. The three affect each other. Who is leading you? Because for a while there, my body was dictating, and my emotions, my soul was dictating, how do I view this thing? How do I feel about it? You know, what's my attitude towards that? But I made that turn on Thursday evening, seeing it now as a challenge. That came from my spirit. Now I'm allowing my spirit to lead me. The spirit of God inside of me that says all things are possible, that says that God will work all these things together for my good. That is now the place where I'm at regarding this thing. And so I want to encourage you as well, allow the spirit to lead you no matter what comes against you. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and stay standing. Don't let it beat you or win you. Stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And that's literally when I read that as well, and I just connected that to the experience while I was worshiping. It literally felt like there was a burning arrow in my shoulder, just that burning sensation that I haven't felt before. And it was like just the whole time confirmation. Tiens, wake up. You are in a spiritual battle. And first and foremost, you know, when you approach any challenge, any situation, you know, what is the Spirit of God saying? We need to be led by the Spirit. We need to make sure we've got our spiritual armor on, and we need to come against our adversaries or the challenges that face us. We need to come against it with our faith, lifting the shield of faith. Then you'll quench the fiery darts of the enemy. You know, where's my faith? I was up to that point with my shoulder. I was getting diagnosis from the doctors and so on. And I was just looking at it up to that point purely from a physiological point of view. How long is it going to take in the natural to heal? What must I do and whatever? You know, as I said, I want all the information. But I hadn't turned that corner yet where I say, okay, that's what the doctors say, but God, you have the final word. So Thursday night in the shower, I was like, but under pain, I was like doing stretches with my arm, and you know, it's like, this is now. The rehab starts now. It's like pictures of Rocky coming and flashing, you know, getting strong now. So I'm putting my faith out. This is not going to take 6 months. You know, before the end of the year, my arm's going to be functioning. That's what I'm putting my faith out for. I'm trusting God in this. But yeah, that the flaming arrows, people, it's like the Lord just showed me and reminded me again that all of us as believers, we are in a battle. And the enemy is firing flaming darts at you, flaming arrows. The only way we're going to survive is if we walk by faith. Okay, we need to have the full armor of God on. We are in a battle. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Vigilance. We have an enemy that's out to get us. We need to stay vigilant. If you're a little springbok on the plains of the Serengeti, I don't even know if they have springbok there. I presume they do. And there's lion out there. I mean, those, they are vigilant. When they're drinking water, they're very careful and they're always watching. You never lose focus. That's your survival is at stake. And so I want to say we need to get more serious. We need to remind ourselves. We need to stir up our faith. We need to be conscious about the spiritual dynamics that are at play around us. Because it's not a game. It's a battle that we find ourselves in. And so there's a nice picture. You've got to hold up that shield so those arrows don't hit. I'd like to ask the ushers to please hand out the communion elements, and then we're just going to close in prayer. But if you can just take a moment and maybe consider what challenges you face. I'm sure we all have challenges at the moment. I don't know what your challenges are necessarily, but that you'll just consider those challenges and just ask the Lord how He would have you respond, how He would have you see it at this point in time. And what it would mean. So let's suppose that challenge coming in the form of a fiery arrow, what it would mean for you to raise your shield of faith to protect you against that onslaught. What does that mean? How does that translate in your situation? So just consider your situation, and then we're going to have communion. Just thanking Jesus that we're already on the winning side. The battle is ultimately the Lord's. We cannot defeat the enemy in our own strength. The Lord didn't call us to fight the devil physically. The battle is not against flesh and blood. The battle can only be won in the spirit. The battle is won on your knees. When we're aware of the fact that we have an enemy that's out to destroy us because he hates God and we created in God's image and he wants to destroy us. When we wake up in the morning and we're aware of that, when we go to sleep at night and we're aware of that, that we've got an enemy that wants to destroy us, then we'll pray. But how do we pray? We don't pray like victims. We appropriate the victory that's already been won at the cross. We have received, if we will use it, the armor of God. But the enemy has been disarmed at the cross. So if we fight the enemy in the power of God, in His might, in the Spirit, guess who's going to win? Our victory lies in Jesus Christ. Don't do it on your own. We are in a battle. When you are ready, just maybe agree with the person next to you and have the communion together. Just thanking the Lord for His victory at the cross for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you did for us, Lord. Lord, you gave your life on the battlefield for each of us. You won it. You won our freedom. You won our salvation. In you, we are victorious. You've invited us to share in that victory, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. You say to us this morning that we can do all things through you. You are our strength. Be strong and courageous. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. If you are for us, Lord, who can be against us? If you are with us, what can stand against? Lord, I just bless each one here, Lord God. And I just declare each one here is victorious in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that you will make us more and more vigilant. The enemy has certain tactics. But Lord, that we would give him no ground. That we'd walk in victory, that we'd appropriate what happened at the cross. And so Lord, we just thank you for protection, divine protection. I plead your blood over each one here and their families, and a boldness, Lord, that we can go out there and that we can enforce the victory of the cross, that we can truly say, Lord, let your kingdom come. That we can go out there and win ground through your power. The enemy has been defeated. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If anyone needs any prayer, please do come forward. I'd love to pray with you.